Who gets the vaccine and when are not only serious questions in the U.S., but also around the globe. A group of rich countries is buying up billions of doses. But as Nick Schifrin reports, the United Nations is stepping into the breach with its own plan to increase vaccine equity.
On a tarmac in Western Africa, Ghanaians welcome a European vaccine delivered by an Arab airline manufactured in India, sponsored by the United Nations. That global effort is the UN's COVAX program, and Anne-Claire Dufay is UNICEF's Ghana representative.
This is really a historic moment. Today, we are very happy to receive the first batch of COVID-19 vaccines through the COVAX facility.
The 600,000 doses of AstraZeneca vaccine is the beginning of what the UN calls the largest procurement, distribution, and supply operation in world history. It's designed to deliver 1.3 billion vaccines this year to more than 90 low- and middle-income countries. Vaccine equity has been a global call. From South Africa, which has recorded half the continent's deaths, President Cyril Ramaphosa.
We are all not safe if some countries are vaccinating their people and other countries are not vaccinating.
To Mexico, which last week received the Pfizer vaccine, President Andres Manuel López Obrador.
These are things that we want to see at the UN, that there be equity.
The UN says residents in just 10 countries have received 80% of the world's shots. Europe has ordered 2.5 billion doses for half a billion residents. COVAX is hampered by limited supply and logistical challenges. The UN calls that a, quote, catastrophic moral failure. Secretary General Antonio Guterres.
The latest moral outrage is the failure to ensure equity in vaccination efforts.
But countries ahead of the curve are pursuing vaccine diplomacy. Israel has vaccinated a higher percentage of its population than any country. And now Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who visited a gym on Sunday, promises to share excess vaccine with partners in the region and world. Russia launched an English-language campaign, V for Victory, or V for Sputnik V vaccine.
Sputnik V is the first registered vaccine against COVID-19 in the world.
The largest effort comes from China, whose state television broadcast deliveries of Chinese vaccines all over the world. In the U.S., last week, President Biden pledged $4 billion to help COVAX.
Competition must not lock out cooperation on issues that affect us all.
For more on this, we turn to Dr. Naheed Bidalia, the medical director of the Special Pathogens Unit at Boston Medical Center and an associate professor of infectious diseases at Boston University School of Medicine. She also served as a clinician during the Ebola outbreaks in West and East Africa in 2014 and 2015. Dr. Bidalia, welcome to the NewsHour. How important is it that vaccine distribution is equitable globally?
Hi there, Nick. It's critical, and it's not just critical because it's the right thing to do, because you know, you have now a setup where a majority of the world or parts of the world that may not get this vaccine for years. And what you see is that with a protracted pandemic, you can't recover the economy, and you continue to lose the gains that have been made in health indicators and education indicators, because it's all related. The longer you see turmoil, and not only that, but you know, you have countries, entire countries that have not vaccinated any of their healthcare workers. And as you see losses of healthcare workers, that might affect health indicators in other ways as well. But there are selfish reasons to do this as well. One is the variants. We're seeing now that these variants, with increased transmission of this disease anywhere in the world, you're going to see new variants appear. And that's why their equity is important for us as well as for others.
Western countries have bought more vaccines than they have people, but there is still a supply shortage. There is still a lot of pressure in individual countries on governments to vaccinate their own people, of course. How quickly should Western governments be releasing supply?
Well, I think the big part of this is every country is going to have to make a decision. But I would say as soon as we can. You know, last week's dedication, the commitment that President Biden made was important, because it also then made further commitments possible from European Union and others. But money is actually not the only issue, right? Because what the Director General of the WHO has said is that it's just the availability of the vaccines. And so part of this is going to be tied to how quickly the richer countries can make manufacturing capacity grow, not just for their own constituents, but also for the global community. I think we should be donating a portion personally as we go along, because this will help ensure that the resilience remains in the rest of the world, and it protects us from those variants, as I said.
Part of the question of that supply, of course, is the newer vaccines. Just today, Johnson & Johnson got pretty good marks from the FDA, and it does not need the ultra-cold storage that we've seen previous vaccines need. How important is it that new vaccines come along to try and solve that supply problem?
Well, the big good news about Johnson & Johnson is not just the fact that it can handle, you know, refrigeration at normal rates versus the Pfizer vaccine, which currently requires ultra-freezing temperatures, which may change because they've submitted new data to FDA for warmer temperatures. But it's also that it's one dose, and it can actually reduce risk for death and hospitalization to 100% after 28 days. And so it's both the dosing, but also because in many resource-limited settings, maintaining that cold chain to get to the last mile is going to be important. So absolutely important. We have candidates that do that now, the AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson, and we're hoping potentially Novavax as well.
At the end of our story, we noted the vaccine diplomacy, vaccine nationalism that we're seeing out of Russia and China. On Russia, more than two dozen countries have signed up for Sputnik V, but Russia's struggling with creating enough supply and vaccinating its own people. Are there countries that are over-promising distribution of vaccine and under-delivering?
Well, currently, I think it's a little too early to tell. I think part of this will be how not only how much can be sent, but how much can be actually timely distributed in those resource limited countries. The thing that worries me in some of these setups of more well-resourced countries distributing vaccines is that we need to ensure that it's not tied to other commitments, right? I think in all global health diplomacy, you kind of have this give and take, but one would hope that in these settings, particularly in a public health emergency, where vaccinating everybody is important, that sort of secondary gains and political commitments are not part of the game that occurs.
Dr. Nahid Bedelia, thank you very much.
Thank you.